Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Olichek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com. It is a Tuesday here. We are back today with the FPC Chiefs podcast. A little bit of scheduling issues last week. No podcast episodes, unfortunately, going into the Steeler-Chief game last week. But we're back to break it all down. Of course, we had our game reaction article come out yesterday on Monday, day after the Chiefs defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you guys have not checked that out, go ahead and do it. It would be greatly appreciated. But today, obviously, going to be recapping some of the top things that stood out from the Chiefs' perspective in their win in the wild card round over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll kind of jump back and forth offensively and defensively and talk a little bit as well about the next opponent, the Buffalo Bills, in the divisional round. It's a big matchup. Last year's AFC Championship game, the Chiefs, of course, lost to the Bills earlier in the year this year at Arrowhead Stadium, week 5 on Sunday Night Football. So a lot to look forward to. Again, really disappointed we could not get an episode out last week, but scheduling issues just kind of caused everything to be kind of wacky. We're still able to get a lot of good articles, though, out last week. So we appreciate everyone that checked those out, the numbers there on the views and everything. We greatly appreciate how much those got. So obviously this was a game kind of going in, really felt like, for the most part, a game that Kansas City was going to probably take care of. You don't want to say very easily, just because Pittsburgh is one of those teams that can, make the game kind of gross and muddy up so many things to make themselves, stay in the game. And this was one of those matchups for the Kansas City Chiefs where I don't know if there was really any area that necessarily they were outmatched going in. Maybe you could say you thought Najee Harris was going to be, a little bit of a tougher style of back to kind of bring down. But he had, less rushing yards and less yards per carry by a wide margin in this game than what he had the first time this year against Kansas City. First time, 93 rushing yards and 4.9 yards per carry. This time around, only 29 rushing yards, 2.4 yards per carry. Of course, a little bit different game script again here. Only 12 carries this time compared to 19 that he got in the regular season against Kansas City. But I just wanted to start off with that, with the Kansas City defense. Was really the defense in this game, I thought, you don't want to say it's something you take for granted maybe every week, but the fundamentals is something this Chiefs defense has to continue to hone in on and focus on. And I thought they tackled really well, didn't really miss too much in space. There was a few times where Najee Harris squirted forward for a few yards extra than what he could have, been stopped at the first time. But for the most part, I thought this team tackled really well, especially out in space, after passes were completed, whether it was Juju Smith-Schuster catching, crossing routes, or obviously Pat Freiermuth or some other tight ends like Zach Gentry, catching a ball in the flats. I thought for the most part, the Chiefs defense tackled pretty well. They did a good job kind of not, getting out of control and out of their, out of their assignments. I thought they did a good job of kind of staying grounded, staying in either their run fits or obviously if it was a pass play, just good communication on the back end. There was a lot of times where, the Chiefs would not show some stuff at the snap and disguised it really well once the ball was snapped, and times where they switched off their man or obviously times where they went to double cover a certain receiver. And I thought, just that communication and cohesion on the back end, that's something the secondary lacked on a little bit the last few games. But to see that back in this one was a breath of fresh air, and I thought there was some guys in the secondary that really stood out. A lot of guys stood out for the Chiefs, of course, in a game like this when you scored 42 points and win big in the playoffs. But I thought there was some guys that needed to have a strong performance that did in the secondary. You talk about Charvarius Ward, couple weeks removed, of course, from that tough game against Jamar Chase, but he did a good job of finding the football, getting his hands, either on the football to break it up or obviously, ripping through the receiver's hands to break it up. So Charvarius Ward, really good game for him on the outside. And you don't want to say it was an easy matchup necessarily for Charvarius Ward against Pittsburgh, but the lack of explosiveness, I think sometimes, gives him a little bit of a boost. Pittsburgh, a much more physical receiver team on the outside. you know, not necessarily savvy, but more of just kind of crafty with how they run their routes, and everything's kind of pieced together, and every little step, you know, is meant to matter in the route, which means, you know, kind of trying to throw the cornerback off on any way, you know, and kind of disguising that a little bit is what Pittsburgh tries to do with some physical receivers. But I thought Charvarius Ward had a great game. Juan Thornhill was another guy at safety. I mean, he had some big hits in this one. That really stood out, and I think that tackling form and tackling, you know, execution and just finishing, that's something that has improved over the season for Juan Thornhill, something that his first couple years on the field was definitely lacking a little bit at times. And you look at, you know, just him being able to stay over the top, I thought he was put in a lot more positions to succeed in this one in coverage, where, you know, last couple weeks maybe he was kind of, you know, pulled a little bit too far away from the middle of the field. And you look at some of the plays he was able to make in coverage, you know, it's not always going to stand out in the box score, but, you know, being on top of routes and really clamping those down, I thought Juan Thornhill, another guy in the secondary, that had a really good game. It was also interesting, I think, you know, just to kind of look at defense in this one, how that's going to translate to the Buffalo game, is a lot of these guys did not have to play a full snap count just because the game was out of reach so quickly. So, you know, guys like Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, Frank Clark, Willie Gay even as well, those are guys did not get a lot of snaps in this game. So the fact that they got, you know, a little bit of extra rest, not having to play a full four quarters, I kind of agree with what a lot of people that have talked about that. You know, I think it is going to be a big boost against Buffalo when you look at a pretty stout offensive line that the Bills present, and obviously a dual threat quarterback, big body guy, and Josh Allen. That's going to be, I think, very, very important for the Chiefs front going into next week. Some guys like Chris Jones, Frank Clark, all those guys able to get a little more rest this game against Steelers, not having to play all four quarters. So that was kind of opening thing, I think, for the defense, was just a lot of the fundamental things and just seeing how they were disguising some looks defensively. They really executed, I thought, the way Steve Spagnuolo wants this defense to run, where they can pin their ears back, they can kind of fly around the field a little bit, and able to make plays in space and keep plays in front of them. Obviously, I thought they did a pretty good job of that. Going now to the Chiefs offense, obviously, this was a game that started slow, but I will say, even though they did have a lot of points early, I kind of like the play calling that Andy Reid had early from the outset of this game, the screen game. You know, I think it was maybe second play from scrimmage on the first drive to Jerick McKinnon, who we'll talk about more here in a second. I really like what Andy Reid did in this game. Really a lot of misdirection. And of course, up front, you got an offensive line that's a lot more physical this year. Guys that can handle a little bit more one-on-one man blocking schemes. And I think you look at Pittsburgh, obviously, a lot of good defensive linemen, a lot of guys that are, you know, obviously some of the best players in the league as far as front seven goes. But I think this was obviously a matchup where we saw a few weeks ago, Pittsburgh just does not have a lot of gap controllers up front, guys that can handle a lot, you know, out in space. I think up front and being able to win one-on-one reps is a lot easier for them, but they really didn't win a lot of them. And I think that was something from even the outset of the game, even though Chiefs were, you know, struggling to move the ball consistently and punting early, I thought that's what stood out is really Andy Reid, you know, wasn't holding anything back from the outset of this game, forcing the Steelers, who obviously not the fastest defense, trying to make plays in space, you know, with the screen game, a lot of shorter passes early on in between defenders. So really, to me, I thought that was from the outset of the game. Again, results weren't always there, but I liked what Andy Reid was doing early, and that translated, you know, throughout the rest of the game later on, starting to hit on some plays, you know, down the field. Patrick Mahomes able to kind of work off script a little bit, step up in the pocket or step out to the outside of the pocket and make some throws on the run, you know, really kind of toy with the eyes of the defense a little bit. Pittsburgh eye discipline, not very good in this game for most of it. So I thought that was something that really stood out to me personally, was just Andy Reid, you know, going for broke right away. I thought that was a big thing for Kansas City to kind of get the ball rolling with, you know, just allowing them to kind of work in ways where, you know, it's just natural for them, using their speed, using their quickness, their change of direction skills, and obviously being able to make defenders miss. That was something that, you know, again, result-wise wasn't always producing what you wanted early on, but I thought it was obviously setting them up for success later in the game, as we saw. But Jerick McKinnon, I mean, this is a really interesting result that he had, of course, because of injuries. He got the bulk of the load in this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire again out with a shoulder injury, so three straight games that he's missed. And Darrell Williams, I mean, if you guys have obviously listened to the podcast here and read our articles this Chiefs season, Darrell Williams is a guy I think deserves so much credit this year. First 1,000-yard scrimmage season for him. I think he's a guy that could be, honestly a good signing out there if the Chiefs don't retain him this offseason as an unrestricted free agent. I think a lot of teams could do worse than Darrell Williams. So it is kind of interesting, though, the depth that they actually have at running back. And Jerick McKinnon, one thing I wrote about in the game reaction article on Monday, kind of asking the question, is his skill set the best for what this Chiefs offense needs to succeed? And I honestly think I don't think it's a wrong answer if you answer yes, because I think you look at his quickness and his speed right now, there's just not that explosiveness in the other running backs on this roster. Their explosiveness kind of comes in different ways, and more power and, taking contact head on and making defenders miss with certain moves and counter moves out in space. But with Jerick McKinnon, he has the speed and quickness, I think, to really give this Chiefs pace, this Chiefs offense a pace that they want. When you're going up against a more physical team like this in Pittsburgh, that's good in the front seven. So I don't think that's necessarily wrong to say Jerick McKinnon's skill set might be the best for this team. And, when they signed him in the offseason, I kind of thought he was going to have a bigger kind of a bigger role offensively, especially in the passing game, but really in the preseason and throughout training camp, they really kind of honed in on running him, in between the tackles and trying to see what he could kind of do, with some zone rushing schemes. And I think that overall, Jerick McKinnon, yes, he can thrive that way, but this was just one of those where I think Andy Reid, again, letting a player be himself. The screen game, obviously, the quick passing game out in the flats. Jerick McKinnon, so many yards after the catch, 6 catches, 81 yards in this game, 13.5 yards per reception. Of course, had that touchdown on the inside underhand flip from Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs' first offensive score in this game. And then you look at the rushing that he had, just really quick as far as, knowing what he's wanting to set up the defenders to try to do, basically, already seeing an angle and seeing an opening really before it's there. And that's something with Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, that, they just don't always see, or they just obviously aren't going to hit it quite as quickly. I think that cutback ability and obviously the ability to kind of see the field, basically entirely, I think that's something with Jerick McKinnon that, again, his skill set much different than any other running back right now on this roster. And it's interesting to see, how much he was kind of able to find extra space on the outside. I thought there were some plays that were going to be kind of bottled up a little bit quickly by the sideline, but his ability to kind of just keep moving upfield and, as he's going east and west a little bit, eating up so much ground quickly. And I think just the fact that, again, he was able to kind of just not necessarily have to worry about breaking tackles, but just, pick his opening and hit the hole. Jerick McKinnon, man, I think I would not be opposed if I were Andy Reid to, keeping him as the starting running back in this playoffs. Sure, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is healthy, or Darrell Williams obviously gets a little bit healthier with his toe injury, those are guys I think deserve, chances. But Jerick McKinnon, I think when you're going up against physical teams like Pittsburgh, or obviously a team like Buffalo this week, who are, very stout, they're going to be, really, I think, under control and not get too out of position. I think this is, a kind of running back that we've just been kind of waiting to see, translate or, create himself a chance in this offense with Patrick Mahomes as this explosive, quicker back. So be interesting to see how Andy Reid handles the running back rotation based off injuries and health next week. But Jerick McKinnon, obviously tremendous game for him. And it's not like it's, entirely new. We've seen him play well before with the Vikings and 49ers, but this season, really, first big chance for him in Kansas City. And it comes in the, first playoff game, and he does obviously tremendous there. So that was something that really stood out. Kind of going back to the defense now, on the Chiefs. I wanted to go back, obviously, a little bit there, and I wrote in the game reaction article of how the secondary bounced back in this game. Obviously, we talked a little bit already about Charvarius Ward and Juan Thornhill, but I really just think this was one of those games where, you know, guys were able to kind of create chances for themselves. You know, they weren't necessarily sitting back. They were kind of, you know, being aggressive, I think, in the secondary, not necessarily, you know, recklessly where it's going to create penalties. But I think there was enough in this game where they, you know, like I said, just aggressive and creating plays for themselves where, you know, the chances were there for interceptions. We saw some tip balls that weren't quite intercepted off the hands of either Deontay Johnson or another pass catcher. But I just thought secondary bounced back really well in this game in terms of just staying under control, staying patient in space. Not panicking, you know, when the ball was in the air, but there was a lot of times where, you know, they were honestly looked like the receiver on the play, and the receivers kind of quit on routes. I think there was a lot of times where Ben maybe had a good decision that he made or made a good throw, but Roethlisberger really just didn't get the help all the time from the receivers. And even, you know, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin said after the game, he thought there was some plays out there that should have been had by the receivers. And obviously that didn't take place. So, that was something in the game where I thought where, the secondary for the most part, I think if they play like this in terms of being patient, not panicking in space, that's something that, you're going to obviously, I think, create a lot of success for yourself, especially when you look at the upcoming game against the Buffalo Bills, who run 10 personnel, spread out the field, you know, almost more than anybody in the NFL. They have really three, four good receivers. They have a great receiver depth. So it's going to be another tough week this week for the Chiefs, you know, secondary. But I think if they play like this, that's going to obviously lead to more success moving forward. There was even some throws where I thought, you know, great coverage, but they were still beat on. I think just got to kind of tip your hat to Roethlisberger for a tremendous throw, touchdown catch for James Washington, the last score of the game for Pittsburgh. That was one play where it looked like pretty good coverage on the outside. And then you look at some other throws down the field. I think Juju Smith-Schuster had a catch in space. There was a couple others where just looked like great coverage. You know, Charvarius Ward had one as well. I think it was against Juju on the far side. But yeah, there was a lot of plays late in this game where it looked like they were in good coverage, but still got beat. So, I think in the end you take that every time, even if you get beat, because I think you're like I said, I think you're seeing these cornerbacks, especially the entire secondary, you know, getting in a comfortable state. They're kind of being able to learn that they can stick with the opposing receivers down the field. So, again, I thought the secondary bounced back in this game tremendously. We mentioned Charvarius Ward, Juan Thornhill quite a bit already, but Legarius Sneed, there was a lot of opportunities for him to get an interception. Didn't quite come through. Maybe that'll come to fruition this week against Buffalo, depending on what happens, you know, with Josh Allen. But this was a game Legarius Sneed. I mean, there was a lot of times where you saw his speed, the game-changing speed that he has, you make a difference for this team, breaking on the football, you know, so quickly to where he's beating the receiver to the catch point. You see a lot of other times where out in space, you know, able to kind of recover, maybe if there's a receiver that gets by, you know, to the intermediate to deeper parts of the field, you know, and maybe there's times where it looks like the opponent has leverage gained on Sneed, but he's able to recover quickly. So that was something, again, I thought really stood out in this game. Go back to the offense real quick. I just want to talk about, you know, what Andy Reid put out there. We talked about his play calling already. I thought he went for broke, but how much he showed in this game. He put everything on the table on film for the Bills to get in their head. And obviously a fun moment late in the game, last touchdown pass for Travis Kelce, little RPO fake to Tyreek Hill. And we've seen him take snaps like that before in the formation with Hill. But overall, I thought this was a really interesting play design, how they had Patrick Mahomes basically in the flat, and he was actually kind of open on the play. And if you go back, you can see him kind of throwing his hand up in the air, you know, trying to signal for the football. But Byron Pringle makes the touchdown catch. So I think everything that Andy Reid put on this tape for Buffalo to watch and put in their mind going forward, I think it kind of shows that, you know, Chiefs are a little more willing to test – the opponent down the field than maybe what they were earlier in the season. When you look at, you know, some receivers that have, you know, finished strong and kind of have grown, you know, bigger roles right now. You look at guys like Byron Pringle, continues to play well. Two touchdown game again for him here against the Steelers, just like the first time of the year against Pittsburgh. You look at Mecole Hardman's really finished the season strong. I mean, you look at what he was able to do in this game in terms of just, you know, winning, I think, in the short to intermediate areas, again, creating yards after the catch. He had four catches, 43 yards in this game. 41 yards was his longest reception. And there's just a lot of times in this game where you can tell he was feeling it. And there's times where Mecole Hardman, you know, struggled maybe with confidence a little bit. But right now, these last few games, you can tell he's starting to feel it a little bit at the right time. Also had some good punt returns in this game. So that was good to see after some struggles and drop balls early in the season. So, I think just seeing some guys like that, everything they put on tape really kind of allows the Chiefs to, I think, create more explosive plays with what they're showing right now. I think they're willing to test the defense in the deeper part of the areas, deeper areas of the field more often now. And I think there's a lot of times, too, where you're just seeing receivers, I think, attack the football a little bit better as well at the catch point. But I think everything Andy Reid showed in this game is, you know, they're a little more explosive, I think, than what people gave them credit for. Of course, they've always been known for speed with Tyreek Hill in the fold, but I think you're starting to see some guys, you know, really make some explosive plays that we haven't seen all season long. And I think that it's not just a mirage. I think there's guys that are really, you know, kind of meant for these playoff games. And, you know, they're really gaining more trust with Patrick Mahomes. And obviously, we got to talk about Patrick Mahomes. Haven't really talked about him enough from passing perspective in this game. Obviously, a huge night, five touchdown passes, no interceptions. Actually, one interception. Forgot about that one real fast. With TJ Watt tipping the ball, and I believe it was Devin Bush making the pick. So five touchdowns, one interception, 404 passing yards, 30 of 39. And he started the game, I believe he started the game, I want to say six for his first 12. He finished the game really strong, and that was, I think, what you love to see after a slow start for him. The ball placement, again, attacking down the field, not afraid to do that. And there was a lot of times in this game where, again, just playing to his own play style that, you know, has made him so good, you know, creating on the run, creating out in space, using his legs to kind of toy with the defense a little bit. So, Patrick Mahomes, this was one of those games where, again, started a little slow, but I think in the end, again, reminded people why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think it's just because of, you know, how much he's always been able to kind of be dangerous to defend. But I think right now you're seeing some things he's kind of picked up as far as reading the defense a little bit, and some things pre-snap that he's starting to, you know, kind of realize and point out. And I think reacting to that a little bit better than he was early in the season, you know, as far as pressure and you know, not forcing passes, taking what's given to him. He's always been kind of a guy that has the anticipatory skills to get the ball out quickly, but I think really you're just starting to see him not waste as much opportunities when, you know, quick releases are there. I think there's times where, you know, he's starting to adjust his dropbacks a little bit as far as the depth he's getting, and I think his releases a lot more quicker. And I think some of that, you know, showed off in this game a little bit against Pittsburgh. Maybe hard for, you know, some people to realize, but I think for me watching some of this game back, he took those opportunities a little bit quicker than he has in the past. And again, taking what, you know, has been given to him, there's a lot of times where the Chiefs right now, you know, have ample room to run after the catch, not just because of, you know, what Patrick Mahomes is doing, but I think the play design as well. There's a lot of times where just the Chiefs are setting themselves up to looking to hit on that big play more consistently. So I thought that was big for Patrick Mahomes in this game, attacking down the field. And that's something where today's article on Tuesday, I'm going to kind of talk about what went wrong for the Chiefs their first time up against the Bills. So Patrick Mahomes will be kind of a focal point in that article. You know, back when he was struggling early in the season, that was probably one of his worst statistical games of his career against Buffalo this season. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into that, what went wrong the first time against Buffalo, But yeah, that was kind of the main points that I had, you know, what stood out to me from this Pittsburgh game. Again, if you guys have not checked out our game reaction article from Monday, I list the top things we learned from Kansas City in this game, what to kind of look forward to possibly from those headlines as well moving forward throughout the rest of the playoffs. So again, if you guys have not checked that out, go ahead and do so. FullPressCoverage.com, FullPressCoverage/Chiefs. And we will obviously have a lot more articles this week. We had a full week last week. We'll have another full week this week, of course. Like I said today, kind of going to be diving into what went wrong for the Chiefs the first time against the Bills when they lost to Buffalo earlier in 2021. And talking about also some of the top matchups that could determine this outcome Sunday, Buffalo versus Kansas City. We'll have Chiefs offense versus Bills defense preview, and as well Bills offense versus Chiefs defense preview on the other side later in the week. Two separate articles there. Our final headlines, an X Factor article that we had last Friday. We'll have that same idea come out this Friday to close out the article week. So be on the lookout. It's going to be obviously another huge week for the Kansas City Chiefs, arguably the top matchup to me of division round weekend. I mean, obviously last year's AFC Championship game, to me, the two best teams entering the AFC playoffs that I think have the best shot to go win it all from the AFC side of things. So a lot of people, you know, kind of calling this the de facto AFC Championship game. And I don't think that's, you know, a big slight to the Bengals and Bengals and Titans. I think both those teams can still kind of challenge these two teams and push them around a little bit. But I think this just goes to show how the culture is for both of these teams right now. Just all the ways that they can kind of win situationally. It's going to be a very fun game to watch. Definitely going to be a tough one. Not going to be easy for Kansas City, but they do have revenge, of course, on their mind going into this one based off the first matchup against Buffalo this season, and another chance to play them at Arrowhead is huge. So getting a second game at Arrowhead in the playoffs, like Patrick Mahomes said after the game on ESPN Sunday night, it's huge. So going to be a fun week here writing about the Chiefs. We'll be back with another podcast episode as well on Friday for a deeper preview of Chiefs versus Bills. So stay on the lookout for all of our content. Again, it's going to be another pretty full week article-wise. So another article dropping the same day as this podcast episode. Be sure to check that out. It would be greatly appreciated. Of course, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, follow Full Press Chiefs at FPC_Chiefs on Twitter. Follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. If you guys want to follow the main Full Press coverage accounts, you guys can follow at Full Press NFL and at FP_coverage for all the NFL news and notes during the playoffs, or for non-playoff teams. If you're a fan of a team that's interviewing coaching candidates right now, we'll have all the news there for you based off interviews that are, you know, completed and what candidates are kind of looking to become the front runners there for those open head coaching jobs in the league. So also daily video content, Full Press coverage. We'll have FPC NFL Sunday again next Sunday. If you guys checked this out Sunday, it was a fun show with Ricky, Ian, and Kyle. We'll be back again this Sunday, I'm sure, to talk more NFL playoff football. Myself, Ian Glendon, Ricky Keeler, and Kyle Senra. You guys can search Full Press Coverage on YouTube or Facebook, or follow those Twitter accounts at Full Press NFL at FP_coverage. And you guys can check us out there Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Again, YouTube, Facebook, or those various Twitter accounts is where you can find us for those. FPC Radio Live is as well, weekday mornings, Ian Glendon and John Sapicetti, they do a great job. I just listened to them a little bit this morning. So if you guys want to listen to some takes about the NFL playoffs that maybe not a lot of other people are talking about, go check them out weekday mornings. Again, Full Press Coverage on YouTube or Facebook. Again, we'll be back with more articles throughout the week. So keep it locked on here for Full Press Chiefs. Be on the lookout for any other updates on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs. And we will be back next time.